win!
Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
15-10-5, touchdown!
Way back! Might be out of here!
Oh, baby!
The Beat on 720 WGN.
Nah, yeah, baby. Beautiful day out there. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynewitz. This is The Beat. Short show today, only till 5:30. Enjoy us now. Never forget us.
We'll have to talk fast.
Yes, perhaps. We do have a lot to jam in here. We have an outstanding opportunity at the start of the show here, Harry.
Yes, we do. It is a weekend for two in Las. It's something else.
It's not a weekend for two in Las Vegas or Los Angeles or
Las Cruces.
Sure. Santa Fe, New Mexico. Throw something out there other than that starts with L. So, as you just heard in Bob Kessler's news update / sports update, Northwestern is playing Rutgers University at Welsh Ryan Arena today. The game will be heard on AM 1000 as we have Blackhawks hockey coming up tonight. I normally go to the Northwestern games. Dave Ennett will be on with us at 4:10 to preview the Wildcats and Rutgers, a game they absolutely have to have today because you cannot lose to Rutgers.
Ew.
You can lose games, but you can't lose to Rutgers. That would be, you already have one bad loss against Illinois, can't lose to Rutgers. We have, for the loyal Wildcat fan out there,
I think your old girlfriend's here.
She might be. That was her, right. Two tickets to Welsh Ryan Arena in the lower level.
Lower bowl.
Lower bowl. Premium. All you have to do is come down to WGN Radio, stand in front of the mirror, / the window. That's what I mean. AKA the fishbowl, AKA the Allstate Showcase Studio, Chicago's own good hands. And we'll give you one question, and we'll give you two tickets. We're going to ask you a question. We're going to make sure you get the answer right.
It's an easy question.
It's a very easy question. So if you're in the neighborhood, little 435 North Michigan, we would love to send somebody to the Wildcats and Rutgers. Actually, I would love to send somebody because they're my tickets.
It's pretty exciting what's happening there. I've been a couple times, and I got to go to the Illinois game. Obviously, the Cats did not look good. But today, Scotty Lindsey returns. He is their leading scorer and a fantastic defender. Northwestern with a big, big slate of games after tonight. This will be the, I don't want to jinx it, but the easiest game left on the schedule.
No question.
And you cannot, you know, you can explain losing to Maryland. They're a top 25 team. You know, you can explain, you know, losing to Purdue. They're a top 25 team, but you cannot lose to the Scarlet Knights.
You cannot. You cannot. And the Scarlet Knights have played some competitive games, so I don't think it's necessarily going to be easy. But you cannot lose today at home as you're trying to make the tournament for the first time.
So come on down and answer one simple question, and you could be going to see Northwestern basketball live.
Courtesy of at the Carm and at Hey Tweet Harry. How amazing is that?
Yes. Now, I don't. There's not a lot of great Rutgers grads that have played in the NBA. James Bailey comes to mind. But you know who went to Rutgers?
Jim Valvano?
Jimmy V?
He coached there.
Oh, he coached there. Yeah. Tony Soprano.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Is a Rutgers grad.
Well, there you go. I mean, little Piscataway, New Jersey, nothing like it, huh?
Right.
And, yeah, well, it's not exactly the bastion of great college basketball, and why they're in the Big Ten, I still ask myself that question whenever I talk about Rutgers, but they're in the Big Ten.
James Gandolfini is a proud graduate of that school.
Great actor.
Oh, he was awesome.
Right.
He left us too soon.
What was he, 51, 52, whatever it was?
Way too young.
Yeah.
Tell everyone you love him every day.
So, okay.
Yes.
So that's out there for you. Come on down. We'd love to give you the tickets. We'll see what type of passionate fans listen to the show who are willing to change their day on a dime.
Right. And want someone who's going to go. We don't want just someone to walk by and get a question right. We want someone who's going to go.
Right. It's a big ask and a big opportunity all at the same time. All right. So there is, as we get into the show here, we have to have, what do I want to call it? I think we need an intervention here, Carrie.
Again?
Yeah, not for me, not for you.
Oh, okay.
But for arguably the greatest athlete in his...
Michael Jordan.
Not Mike. We'll get to him. He was 54 this week. Love you, Mike. We have to have an intervention for arguably the greatest athlete slash the most accomplished performer in his sport, but he continues to hang on. And we're going to talk about that coming back here. And we're going to try to help him, and we're going to try to help you. Because I think for some of us, letting go is a very hard thing to do, Harry. Are you able to let go?
Yes, that's what I'm told.
You're told what?
To let go.
Oh, okay. I mean, I have a hard time letting go. Like right now, when Mike turns 54 this week, I really didn't want to do much other than watch old Jordan videos. I still hold out hope that he's going to come back and do something score 10 a game. No.
Let live and let go.
Right. So this is a letting go.
Live and let die.
And also a celebration. I think that...
Let's go crazy.
Yes. We're going to do
let
that.
Let it be.
It's something that needs to be done, and we're going to do it right here on 720 WGN. More importantly, get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today, Harry, at chicagotribune.com. We're going to help out one of the greatest of all time coming back here, and we're going to help each other out at the same time. And we're going to celebrate this man. Do you know who I'm talking about? You actually do.
I think I do because you made a show list.
Right, I did. So that's a bad question. Perhaps you don't know who we're talking about, but maybe you do. 720 WGN.
I've gone through some pretty tough lows going through my procedures on my back. And there are points in time when I didn't know if I could ever swing a golf club again, play with my kids, do all the activities. There were some pretty tough times.
There he is. The greatest to ever play the sport, Tiger Woods. 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carman. He's Harry Tynowitz. 3 surgeries, Harry, in 15 months.
Yeah, not just any kind of surgery.
Yeah, we're having an intervention right now. We're trying to get Tiger Woods to retire. I'm trying to get Tiger Woods to retire. Tiger was supposed to play in the Genesis Open this week.
That's a golf tournament.
That's the first ever golf tournament that he played.
And does he host it?
Yeah, he hosts the tournament. The proceeds go to the Tiger Woods Foundation, and he was scheduled to play. And then he was scheduled to have a press conference to say that he wasn't going to play. And then he didn't even show up to the press conference because his back was bothering him to a point that he couldn't even sit.
His doctors told him that it would not work, him sitting for 20 minutes. Now I'm about as out of shape as you get.
Could you sit?
I can sit for 20 minutes.
Right. I mean, last 15 months, Tiger's had 3 back surgeries. Tried to come back at Torrey Pines, missed the cut. Goes to Dubai, shoots an opening round 77. Says nothing's wrong with his back, but then never returns, and now this. Okay, and he's pulled himself out of different events, the Honda Classic coming up, and who knows when he's going to... Do you know the year the last time Tiger Woods won a major?
It's been a while.
2008, all right?
Jeez.
9 years ago.
It was such a given that at 14 majors won, he was going to pass Jack Nicklaus, who's got the record with 18. But, his wife threw a club, then she hit his car, and we never saw Tiger win another major.
312-981-7200. How do you view Tiger? How do you remember Tiger? And, like, should Tiger hold on and keep going out there? Because I think there's, like, a segment of the golf populace, and I'm raising my hand really significantly right now. I don't watch golf. I watch it on Sunday for the Masters. If it's close, But when Tiger was going, man, when Tiger was Tiger, I actually thought about buying the Nike golf ball. I thought about getting the Tiger Woods hat. I wanted the shoes because Tiger made it cool.
See, I just thought about sleeping with the hot Swedish nanny.
Well, there's that.
Please, you gotta do this for me. Can you take your name off your phone?
See, there was that too.
My wife answered my phone and maybe calling you. Take your name off your phone.
Good tune. And I mean, I loved that part of his career. I just didn't know it was going to ruin his career. Like, he's not the first athlete to have some infidelity off the golf course, off the basketball court, off the football field.
Right. Kobe gave an amethyst, and he was fine.
Yeah. I mean, these things happen, and then you move along. But for Tiger, there was that, and then his body fell apart. He's reminding me now, like, Willie Mays was 42 years old with the Mets. He had 211.
Played in the World Series.
Michael Jordan was on one leg with the Wizards.
Right. See, the guy I would compare him to, and I'm not a golf guy, but the guy I would compare him to is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning played a team sport, so it's kind of hard to do it. But Peyton had multiple neck surgeries and came back because he desired to win again. And he was able to, although he wasn't playing down the stretch, he was able to get on the field for the playoffs and to win the Super Bowl. They didn't win because, like, when the Colts beat the Bears, they won because of Peyton Manning. The Broncos won because of their defense. But Peyton Manning was a guy that probably should have retired before he did, yet he hung on and he won a championship.
All true, but he played a team sport.
Tiger's playing an individual sport, and he looks bad.
Tiger's out there naked, and he's missing the cut, which, by the way, for his career, he made 142 cuts. Nobody in the history of golf has made more. Tiger, number one. Tiger, for his career, 79 tour wins. That's second to Sam Snead. Tiger, he won 25% of the tournaments that he entered. By far the best in the history of golf. In his prime, he was winning at a 30% clip. Nicklaus was at a 20% clip. His body broke down, so he's not going to get to 18. But if you look at, like, when he was at his best, longevity matters, and the amount matters. But at his peak, nobody dominated the sport like this guy. So I feel like, hey, man, you call the press conference. There's no shame. I would have loved to have gotten to Jack's 18, but, you know, I'm super proud of my career. And, you know, I'll stand it up against anyone. I don't know. 312-981-7200. Harry, you got a question? I feel like you want to ask something.
No, we have to remember what made Tiger Woods so great was his passion, was the fact that he was never going to give up. Since he was a little kid, he would get on the golf course and he would just practice. He'd play, he'd practice, he'd play, and then he'd do it some more. And that's what made him great, is this will that we're asking him now to back away from. It's for anybody else, you see the decline in the physical ability. You see him not being able to make the cut. You see him falling down where he used to just, you know, romp home a champion. And you just say, well, Tiger, back off. But for Tiger, what made him great is he never backed off.
I appreciate the Tiger determination. I do. And I'd love, and that's, this is part of the reason why I wanted to bring it up, because I'd love to see Tiger win one more. I'd love to have that story, be it at the Masters or the U.S. Open, or I don't even care if it's at some tournament I've never heard of, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Let him be in the mix and let him pull one more off. But it's just not going to happen. Like, it's very, very clear. And he's just, at this point, it's just gotten painful. Like, call it a career.
It needs to come from someone who's in his inner circle. It needs to come either from his longtime agent, Mark Steinberg.
You don't think he's going to listen to me?
Now, he should. If he knew what was good for him, he'd be going with you to Wisconsin later. But Tiger Woods needs to hear from his agent, Mark Steinberg, who's been with him since the start, who's a U of I at CBT, by the way, or Jack Nicklaus. You know, I mean, somebody who's in Tiger's inner circle needs to say, hey, Tiger, the best thing for you now is to go out legendary.
And it's kind of past the point, because we've had a lot of bad Tiger for many years right now. But let's go for the cutting of the cord here, Harry.
You got to do it. Tiger needs to step away from the game. He can still do other things. He could still, you know, be a part of it if he cared to.
Tiger Woods, for his career, just a couple of notes here,
uh-huh,
shares the record for the largest margin of victory at every major, with the exception of the PGA Championship. Okay. At every single one. The only golfer who's ever won all four majors by at least 5 strokes. He had the 15-stroke victory 2000 in the U.S. Open, which was the most dominating performance stroke-wise in the history of the game. I mean, it's endless, endless stuff. One stat that I was looking at with him that's interesting, since he joined the tour in 1996.
Uh-huh.
How many African Americans have played on the PGA Tour since 96, you know, promoting diversity in lily white golf?
How many?
Want to gander a guess?
I'll say five.
Two. The old two lot. Which you would...
I would think that Tiger had an impact on kids of, you know, I would think people that, you know, normally wouldn't have taken up golf saw Tiger and said, hey, man, I can do that. And I think that would, you know, that there'd be more, you know, black people that were on the course because of Tiger. More minorities of any kind on the course because of Tiger.
Right. To this point in time, professionally, that has not been the case. So, for whatever that's worth, I don't know if he wants to make that part of what he does after the game. I mean, he's got a lot of dough, right? I don't know if that moves him. You got to figure out something to do when you're retired, right?
Uh-huh.
So maybe he wants to help bring more diversity to the game. Maybe that's something that moves him. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. He certainly doesn't have to do it. But I thought that stat was kind of interesting. Wow. It for whatever reason, there was no big movement within the overall diversity of the game. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. It's 720-WGN. This is The Beat. I'm Mark Carvin. He's Harry Tino. It's Dave Bennett. Will join us from Welsh Ryan Arena at 410. With you till 5:30 tonight. Blackhawks hockey coming up. Judd Surratt with your pregame right at 5:30. Talking a little Tiger Woods and trying to get Tiger to retire. Because Tiger needs to retire because Tiger doesn't want to go out on one leg, which he is already on. We'll have some Cubs talk for you coming up this week, Tom, or this week. How about today on this show?
That'd be good.
Tom Rick, I mean, spring training's here, Harry.
Yes.
We got games coming up. Kevin Powell's out there this week. Very exciting. I'm ready. Jason Hayward, there was a rain delay yesterday. Hayward spoke.
He loves speaking during the rain.
I mean, it's amazing. But hang on, there's a couple Tiger calls. People want to talk Tiger, so let's get a couple in here. Frank, welcome to 720 WGN. What's on your mind?
How you doing, guys? Who would have thought to kayaks on the Fox River in February, huh?
How about it?
I mean, if we're going to have global warming and we're going to ruin the world, we might as well have beautiful days in February, Frank. So get out there and enjoy it. That's my advice.
That's right. I think he got into steroids. I mean, the size of his head when he first started and his body and everything, I think it eventually – and I don't think it's mainly his back. I bet there's other things wrong with him that he's hiding since he's cheated on a lot of things. He's probably cheating on that issue. That's just my opinion. Otherwise, he's a good golfer.
So, okay.
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. A lot of people have that opinion, Frank, because Tiger did hit the ball farther than everybody. And you look at Tiger, he looks more like a linebacker than a golfer. So,
yes.
We don't have any actual proof, but it wouldn't surprise me, Frank. If I had to bet on it, I would say that I'm with you. We don't know.
Look at the pictures of when he started, it progressed every year. Come on.
Right.
Your head doesn't get bigger otherwise. It's only from steroids, period.
So the problem isn't, you know, what did he do? The problem is, how do you get him to stop now? Because he's so far away from what he was.
I don't think you'll ever get back, ever. I don't think you'll ever win again. These guys are too good, too young now.
Right. He's lucky to make a cut now. So at what point does Tiger just realize, hey, I've had enough?
They actually laugh at him pretty much now. What does he rank, like 400?
I don't even know. I'll look it up for you, though, Frank. Hey, we appreciate the phone call.
Okay.
Sounds like you're on the bandwagon Tiger should retire.
The man made $155 million on the golf course.
That's a good amount of money.
Yeah, $1.3 billion, including his endorsements.
Right, so he shouldn't be hurting for money.
No.
But you do have this thing like, what am I going to do with the rest of my life when I can't play the sport that I loved so much? And it's a sport, by the way, that most people play their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he could have been on the senior tour if he wanted to for years. But I think the way he went about, to Frank's point there, I mean, maybe he just pushed his body too hard and did things that perhaps he shouldn't have done, and he's getting the payback right now. I don't think that's a huge stretch.
No, he can take it easy. If he wants a sporting involvement, he should buy a piece of a team.
312-98.
Michael will sell him a little of the Hornets.
Sure. Mike was been trying to advise him for a long time. Hey, the way you're going about that off the golf course thing with women, that's you're going to get caught there, buddy. Got to be a little smarter than that. Okay, Rocky, welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead. Rocky?
Hello.
Rocky.
Gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let me start by saying, Harry, I really miss hearing you talking sports every day. We need to do something about that.
Yeah, well, Rocky, I'm with you all the way. Hopefully at some point someone will do something about it. Thanks, Rock.
Absolutely. I'm saying with Tiger Woods, I'm like you, Harry. I never was really I'm not a golf guy, but he was so dominant you couldn't help but follow him.
Right.
And I don't know, I kind of compare it with your screener to the situation now to my dad. My dad was the most powerful person I ever saw in my life. He's now in his 80s, and you know, he's got some health issues and that. It's kind of hard to see. I don't think that Tiger can hurt his legacy if he keeps playing, but I really do think that he would be better served if he would make himself an ambassador for golf to different outings like that. He could still have a big influence on golf, just not with a club in his hand.
I like that you just brought up legacy. Hey, Rocky, before you go and we talk legacy, do you want to hear me every day or am I just good enough on the weekends for you?
You're a good sidekick.
Okay.
No, you've got it inverted. You're one of those dyslexic listeners.
No, we have mutuality on this show. Thank you, Rocky. I think we get it.
Thanks, Rock.
Hey, listen, I'm happy to be
here. You're available. He can hear you all the time. Not enough.
That's Rocky, let's have lunch. So he touched on something that I want to bring up, right? Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hurt yourself by hanging on too long? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played forever at the end of his career. He was a shadow of himself. Michael played an extra 2 years in Washington that people kind of pick at, even though he had some great moments. Joe Montana... Dan Marino could barely move at the end. A lot of quarterbacks, you know, you mentioned Peyton Manning earlier in the show. Do you get negative points on your legacy for hanging on too long? Like if Mike had retired in 98 with the perfect form on the shot against Utah, I mean, everybody still calls him the greatest player of all time, right?
Right.
So maybe it's not a thing at all.
No, I don't think it is. And the guys you mentioned... You know, I think, you know, Joe Montana wasn't, I mean, he went to Kansas City and he won games for the Chiefs. But, you know, the other guys that you mentioned, I don't think, you know, I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the NBA's all-time leading scorer. You know, Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever.
I mean, Brett Favre was a Jet. He was a Viking. He's dancing around the NFL. Does that knock him out of the top? I don't know. You can argue Brett Favre top five. He's a lock top 10. Does that knock him down? I don't think it does.
No, I hear a lot of Packer fans saying that he's not as good as Rodgers, you know, and I don't know if that's just Rodgers' love because he's playing now or if, you know, they forgot what Favre is like. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is awesome, you know, but I don't think that you can say that Tiger, years from now, people will still say Tiger was the greatest golfer ever. You know, people can say Nicklaus won more majors. But what he's doing now is just painful to watch.
Right. I mean, is Muhammad Ali still the greatest boxer of all time?
Of course.
Even though he fought till he was, what, 42?
Right.
And got cranked by Trevor Burbeck?
Is Willie Shoemaker still the greatest jockey of all time?
Well, now you're getting into an area of pure comfort for you. Willie Shoemaker, huh?
Yeah, there's so many greats. Lafitte Pinkay, you know, Angel Cordero. They got Jerry Bailey, Pat Day.
Pat Day's my guy.
Yeah, huh?
I used to love him out at Arlington.
Sure. How about Gary Stevens? Mike Smith's still writing after 50. But go ahead.
Oh, I think I gave it everything I had with Pat Day. I wasn't going
to. No. I mean,
Early Fires. Wasn't that a jockey?
Early Fires, one of Arlington's, I believe he's the all-time leading writer of beautiful Arlington Park. Look at you.
See? I remember betting at an Early Fires back in the day when I used to bet on the races, like in high school with $5.
Mm-hmm. Great name for a jockey, too.
Early Fires, right? You gotta go with Fires.
Right. You wouldn't bet a jockey who's late.
Right. Way to tie that together, Harry.
Thank you.
All right, 312-981-7200. Dave Ennett will join us from Welsh Ryan Arena at 4. Coming on back here, there was a major, major issue at Cubs spring training this week where a Cub really, in my mind, there was a lack of respect. A lack of respect.
That's not good.
No.
Somebody was bamboozled.
Yeah, it was emotional for me. It could be emotional for you. We'll talk about that coming back. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. My brother texting the show. Didn't Nicklaus win a major at age 50? I think Wood should take two years off, let his body heal completely, then give it a go. He was 46 when he won the Masters.
1986 was like the year that all the great people won one more time.
Right. Who else won in 86? The Mets won in 86.
Don't. I said great people. Why would you bring up the Mets
I'm sorry. Awful. Well, I figured I'd...
That was awful.
86.
Phil Buckner.
86. I think of the Mets. I hate to do that to you, but I do.
86 was Nicklaus. Willie Schumacher won the Derby on Ferdinand, and he was an old man.
That's when I look at you with amazement. I love that you can pull a Willie Shoemaker Ferdinand 86 out of your back pocket there.
I spent a lot of time with the Kentucky Derby glass in my hand.
Well, and here, my brother is actually an expert, as you know, about Bruce Carmen, Harry. He played number one at the University
Bruce.
Of Chicago. Right. I mean, that's what they used to chant when he would take the court. And, you know, he's taken time off and has stepped back on the court and has been playing in some high, I think he's got a high-level match today, actually. And I know he played 2 hours yesterday. I asked him to play Thursday morning.
What happened to your big match?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, Harry. Thank you. Because I've been getting a lot of tweets on it. People were wondering how I did in the East Bank Club semifinals.
Which a lot of tweets, huh?
Yeah, well, one. Thank you, Bob Felton, very much. I lost 6-1, 6-1, and I played terrible. And he was way better than me, and I probably would never beat him, but I'm a little bummed on how I played. But thank you for asking. So, all right, let's get on back on track here. I wanted to bring up what I think everybody saw. I wanted to bring up Cubs spring training and what I considered to be a moment of disrespect. Now, how do you feel about Greg Maddux?
Love Greg Maddux.
Right?
Who doesn't love Greg Maddux? 300 wins, longtime Cub, came back to the Cubs.
Right. I still don't think the Cubs should be able to retire his number. You don't get to lose somebody in free agency in the middle of the prime of their career.
For nothing.
Like, you don't get to claim him. But I still love Greg Maddux because Greg Maddux wanted to stay here. It wasn't like some Kevin Durant situation where he bolted Oklahoma City because he wanted to... whatever, grow in Golden State. That dude wanted to be here, and we had incompetence in Larry Himes and upper management at the time. So, I still love Greg Maddux. But this moment in time, I think everybody saw, right? Maddux was at spring training. He dressed up as a sound guy for Chris Bryant taking batting practice, and then the spoof, you know, he threw him curveballs, and Bryant was, like, amazed at how good the BP guy was, and it was awesome if you missed the video. Very cool. But so then Bryant... Maddux revealing himself was like, hey, can you sign that bat and sign it to Greg Maddux? And here, we got the audio here. Let me play it.
You want to sign the bat to me? Chris, you signed that to Greg Maddux?
See? I told you.
Good hitting.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
I'm going to get up.
Okay, I'm completely surprised.
You guys got me. I was doing the pranking last year, and I got pranked this year, so. By a Hall of Famer, Greg Maddux.
You still want my bat?
No.
See, and there it was. Like, okay, so Maddux had the big beard on, and they put some extra weight on him, I think. I wasn't sure. He was looking pretty large.
He's, the only corner of the plate Maddux is working these days is at the buffet.
Yeah, he's having... Okay, maybe they didn't put any extra weight on him.
I'm sure that they put on a little extra something, but he's not the Greg Maddux we remember.
Right. There's some significant...
I'm hardly one to talk.
Right, well, you look great today, Harry. You took off... How many pounds did you lose?
6 pounds. 100 pounds.
Yeah, 100.
100 pounds.
Yes, you look fantastic. So, anyway, regardless... Maddux takes off the beard, reveals himself, and, like, he did the whole thing, like, can you sign it to Greg Maddux? And then Bryant, like, wanted to sign the bat to give it to Greg Maddux. And he's like, do you really want my bat? No, I don't. Chris Bryant's won the MVP. Chris Bryant's could very well end up in the Hall of Fame with Greg Maddux. Why wouldn't you want?
I would take the bat.
How do you not take the bat there, Greg?
I would take the stick. No. You know, it's one thing when I love those commercials where Kyrie Irving dresses up as the old man. And he starts playing, you know, against the guys on the basketball court. And all of a sudden he's knocking down J's and he's going to the hole. Like, what the hell is happening here? But, I mean, Chris Bryant should recognize Greg Maddux.
Right. Well, no. When he's out, you thought he should have recognized him when he's in the beard?
Sooner than he did.
Really?
Yeah. Come on. It's Greg Maddux. He's got an aura about him.
Well, he's just throwing him BP. I mean, he's throwing nothings.
But he spent time with him. I mean, it's not like a guy he's never met.
Yeah, but he was, okay. I mean, he was heavily covered up with
right, them. Well, I'm not saying that Chris Bryant is like, dumb for not noticing. I'm just saying, like, I'm surprised, you know, because Max, you know, has spent time around these Cubs. I would think that, you know, it'd be easier for Chris Bryant to notice him than other people.
312-981-7200. Was Greg Maddux big-timing Chris Bryant by telling him, no, I don't want your bat? I think Maddux was going big time on KB.
No, he wasn't going big time.
I think he was big time at KB.
I think he thought maybe, like, the, you know, if he takes it, then there's a fan out there that doesn't get it. One less fan gets a Chris Bryant bat.
Yeah, I think he was trying to show that I'm too cool for school. I don't need your I don't need your bat. I'm
no,
Greg Maddux, the
not
greatest.
Not at all.
No. Okay. So it didn't bother you at all that he said no?
No. Like, I thought he was just like, hey, man, if I take that, one less fan gets one.
Maybe I'm too sensitive. Could be too sensitive, Harry. I was disappointed.
If you could have any bat from a player currently in baseball.
Chris Bryant.
That's who you'd want?
Yeah. I love Chris Bryant. How do you not like Chris Bryant? Like, who else would you even want?
If you're a pitcher on another team, you don't
right.
like Chris Bryant.
That's right. But, I mean, always entertaining. Last year, he showed up at Mesa Community College.
Oh, he's got great attitude.
I mean, he's super accommodating to the media. He's a phenomenal teammate. He's a phenomenal player. He's winning MVPs. I don't think Chris Bryant's going to change either. Like, I have confidence that Chris Bryant's going to be a pretty good, respectable, nice guy for his entire career. Some guys, when they get the fame, they change. I don't think that's going to happen with KB.
You know, I would rather have Rizzo's bat, but, I mean, it's apples and oranges. They're both superstars. Hey, Anthony Rizzo, at such a young age, is the leader of that team. And 3 years ago, when he went after the Reds' entire team, he's at first base. Goes after the team in the dugout, starts walking up to him from first base. There's no one in between him. There's not a Cub in sight to stop him. And Rizzo jumps on the tarp to catch foul balls. And that's incredible. Twice he's made that play, both times against the Brewers.
I mean, this is why they have created the name Brizzo, because it's hard.
They're both so great.
They're both amazing. But if you, I would have that, I would kind of like to have that argument with you. Like, if you're, are you really a Rizzo over Bryant guy?
Oh, absolutely.
That's tough. That's tough for me, Harry.
And you know, I mean, Arrieta. And would rather have, like, you know, Arrieta's a pitcher that can hit. You know, would rather have Arrieta's glove, bat?
Arrieta's great, but he's not. I mean, I think that it's pretty clear that Jake Arrieta's not going to be here after this season. That was one of the interesting.
Probably not. Probably not. But you see, but he still has done so much for the Cubs. Bryant could do more.
He's been phenomenal.
Right. His contract's going to be up, and he's going to get a longer, like Dexter Fowler. You can't get mad at Dexter Fowler. The Cubs weren't going to give him 5 years and that kind of money.
No, but, see, Arrieta is a different story, right? You're talking about he's going to be 31 years old.
Right.
He's expressed a desire to stay, but not to give a hometown discount. Tom Ricketts talked this week.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. He should be paid what he's worth. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, I think most people are incredibly loyal to their employer, but they're not going to take pennies on the dollar to work for them or 50 cents on the dollar to do it either. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get what you're worth. Tom Ricketts said today that's Theo and Jed's call. So if you believe Tom Ricketts, the money is actually there for Arrieta if they want to spend it. I'm not exactly 100% certain I believe that, but okay, fine. So he's going to be 31. He wants a 7-year contract, and he's,
ooh.
I know that's hard to stomach, but it's also a guy that's, I mean, right now he's probably doing a yoga Pilates upside down maneuver. Like, if there was somebody that you were going to bet on their health because of how they treat their body, Arrieta is about as safe of a bet as you're going to have.
Absolutely. And I mean, the guy improved. The guy went from, you know, being a run of the mill pitcher when the Orioles made a terrible trade and sent him here. And the guy improved. And, you know, after he threw that no-hitter in L.A., you're like, well, okay, that's as great as he'll ever pitch. Then he throws another one in Cincinnati. And you know what? He's got a great chance of throwing another no-hitter this year.
I hope he does. And you're absolutely right.
You have to say, but look at the rest of my team. And look at the money that, you know, how that's going to impact the rest of my squad.
Okay. That's all true. And that gets you to Theo and trust in Theo.
Right.
Right? So this week, another thing that happened this week, Travis Wood signs with the Kansas City Royals for very reasonable money.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has an opportunity to start for the Royals that the Cubs apparently were not willing to give him that. But Travis Wood, I don't know why the Cubs didn't like appreciate, in my mind, Travis Wood a little bit more, but then it gets back. Like, I put it out there, like, why wouldn't the Cubs want Wood at, I think it was $4.5 million for the first year and $6.5 million for the next? Why not give him an opportunity to win a starting role along with Mike Montgomery? He hasn't earned that. I feel like he has.
I believe the Cubs appreciated Travis Wood. And, of course, you know, baseball fans listening know that he and Rizzo were the longest tenured Cubs. But, you know, Wood was, you know, such a good soldier for going to the bullpen. And for whatever reason, he pitched much better out of the pen.
He's making catches in left field up against the wall.
That was great. That night against the Mariners, the extra inning game, that was awesome.
He's hitting home runs in the NLCS.
The Cubs have so many pitchers now. That has been what Theo and Jed's offseason project was, accumulate the pitchers.
Joe Maddon used that guy a lot. He had a lot of
confidence. I understand.
A lot of confidence there.
I understand. There's a lot. I'm just saying that there's a lot of pitchers, and you got to look at the money they've already got going out.
Sure, but $5 million, that's complete chump change.
I love Travis Wood. I'm not happy unless there's a Wood on the Cubs.
There you go. All right, quick timeout. Coming back after the 4 o'clock news, Dave Ennett from Welsh Ryan Arena. The Wildcats and Rutgers, big, big game today from a standpoint that Northwestern absolutely can't lose it. 720 WGN.
I'm telling you, it's a really special group in our locker room. I don't know what that's going to mean at the end of the year. I really don't. But I know these guys, they're all in. They're completely invested in what we're doing. They're a tough-minded bunch. They're going to play hard. And then we'll get what we deserve at the end. But they've certainly, you know, navigated this season very well through some ups and downs.
That is Chris Collins, your head coach of Northwestern basketball, Cats and Rutgers, 4:45 pregame, 5 o'clock tip on AM 1000. But we can go out to Welsh Ryan Arena right now. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynewitz. It's at 720 WGN. We're with you till 5:30 tonight. Blackhawks and Edmonton at the United Center, which is why the Cats are not on 720 WGN. But Dave Ennett is right now. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us pregame.
Hello, fellas. How are you?
We are
good.
We are great, and we're excited that Scotty Lindsay's back tonight, Dave. I know you are, too. That guy has been missed, even though the Cats had a huge win last Sunday in Wisconsin. Good to have their leading scorer back.
I just watched Scotty hit a three-pointer here during warm-ups. Looks very happy to be out there, moving around very well, which really it's, I think, going to be a question of sort of working his way back into basketball shape here after being sidelined for 3 weeks. But he's going to start the game. He's good to go. So that's great news for this team. And it might take him a game or two to kind of get back into the form he was showing during the six-game winning streak. Which the Wildcats had while he was playing, and then, of course, that streak ended the first game he missed. So I think it's impossible to really quantify how much his presence is going to mean to this team down the stretch.
You know, Dave, obviously they missed Scotty Lindsay for the 4 games he was out, but it meant an opportunity for another guy, and Isaiah Brown stepped up. He had a career high the other night, 19 points against the Terps. What are your impressions right now of the way Isaiah Brown is playing hoops?
Well, Harry, he's really going to be a good player for this team. I don't think there's any question about that. He's, you know, still got got to kind of learn his way, learn the system. The freshmen are going to make mistakes from time to time, and I think he has enough talent that you certainly don't mind that because you're going to live with that. You know, it's going to take him some time, but he showed, I think, more than a flash, and not just the other night, but he has certainly shown the kind of player he can be. He's the thing that strikes me about him, and Mark, you've seen him play a lot too, is he's really fearless. Yep. I mean, this kid for a freshman coming in and just no fear, and he the other night really attacking when in the first half Northwestern needed something to go right against Maryland. He took it to the rack a couple of times against some bigger players and kind of energized this team. And I think he's that kind of a player. And don't forget either Nathan Taphorn, who's a senior, who's really been an important role player this year. And he started the last couple of games, hit the back-to-back threes during that big 16-0 run of the first half at Wisconsin on Sunday and put the Wildcats in front by 9 at halftime. I mean, I think he also deserves some credit for out picking up the slack while Scotty's been out. But no question, Isaiah Brown is going to be a special player here.
I mean, they couldn't score the other night against Maryland, and they basically said, here you go, Isaiah, and he went ahead and kept him in the game and actually had a three that would have made it a six-point game, Dave. I think, what, about 3 minutes to go. But I don't want to be a complainer here, Dave, but I thought the whistle against the Terps, I mean, they saddled Brian McIntosh with three fouls. I thought two of the calls were super questionable. I thought that impacted the game greatly earlier this week.
Yeah, I think there was an offensive foul, I think was his third, right, Mark?
Yeah.
That looked like a flop, but, you know, you're going to get some of those calls along the way. And Brian's been pretty good at initiating contact and drawing fouls, and sometimes I guess it goes the other way against you. But he doesn't get into foul trouble that often. No. I guess that's one thing that was so surprising about it. And when you have a guy who's so important, limited to short minutes in the first half and 31 minutes for the game, and obviously his minutes were held down by the fact that Maryland started to take control of the game, and so they were able to rest him a little bit in the second half. You know, you talked to Chris Collins. We've talked to him about wanting to maybe get Bryant a blow here and there, and get him some rest. And that's not the way you want to do it, though.
Right.
You want him on the floor. You want Vic Law on the floor. And these guys are so important to this team. And now having Scotty back out there, that's, you know, there's, I think, more of an opportunity now to get those other guys some rest, because it's not like you're going to be without any guys out there on the floor who can score for you.
Voice of the Wildcats, Dave Annett at Welsh Ryan Arena. Thank you. So what's Chris saying about Scotty, and how many practices has he had, Dave? What's his conditioning? What have you heard?
He's had two full practices, Mark. He practiced the last couple of days, and his conditioning is going to take some time because while he was ill, he really couldn't do anything. But he started running prior to the Maryland game. He started kind of getting working out a little bit and was able to go practice on Thursday. And he actually, on Thursday, because they had played the night before, the guys who played heavy minutes didn't do all that much. So that created an opportunity for Scotty to get in there a little more and practice and try to work himself back into shape. And he practiced yesterday. And like I say, he's going to start the game. He'll be limited. I asked Coach Collins whether he's on any kind of a pitch count here. There's no specific number in terms of minutes, but they're going to be very careful with him. Look, they need him not just tonight and not just Tuesday night in Champaign, but a week from tonight in Bloomington, and then when they come home and play Michigan and Purdue and so on. I mean, they need to be careful with him in this situation, and I think they will.
Dave, Vic Law got rolling late in the game against Maryland. Now, obviously, with Lindsey being back, once he gets to playing full minutes, that's going to be a lot of the shots will come from Scotty Lindsey. But is Vic Law shooting the ball enough?
Well, good question, Harry. I mean, I think that
I was due.
You know what? I mean, it's always going to depend on the situation. Vic plays so hard on the defensive end. And, I mean, he's done such a great job against some of the dynamic scorers in this conference throughout the season. I mean, he's just had some outstanding defensive games. And the other night, the first half, I don't know if you remember, Mark, you probably do, the sequence. I think he blocked a shot, grabbed the ball out of the air. When they came back down, he blocked it again. You know, he's playing so hard that I can understand it, that it might affect him on the offensive end a little bit. But he's been pretty consistent. If you look at Vic in conference play, 13 points and 7 rebounds a game. I mean, I think you certainly take that. And, you know, I think with Scotty back, they can spread it out a little bit. And I think having Scotty on the floor is going to create some more opportunities for Vic.
No question. He also helps him on the defensive end, having that, you know, another wing guy who can yep. guard. And it's not just
no question.
So, okay. I actually think, Dave, that today's maybe the biggest game left on the schedule, because you just can't lose to a Rutgers team that's 147 in the RPI. Obviously, you need more wins, but this is a loss you can't have. So I'm kind of making this like it's a huge game today.
Yeah, no question. I said to Chris on the Cochran show yesterday morning, I said, we said going into the game Monday night or Wednesday night against Maryland, that was your biggest game of the year. Now this becomes your biggest game of the year. Guess what? After tonight, Illinois, that's your biggest game. I mean, that's when you get into the late February and you're where they are in the standings. Look, Michigan State is down by 15 in the second half at Purdue. If Michigan State loses that game, the Wildcats are alone in fourth place behind the three co-lead. Well, it would be Purdue now would be alone in first if they win this game ahead of Wisconsin and Maryland, who play each other tomorrow in Madison. And then Northwestern would be alone in fourth. And they can solidify that, assuming Michigan State doesn't come back in this game. And they have trouble scoring, let's face it. And Purdue doesn't have trouble scoring generally. So let's say the Wildcats are in fourth place with four games to go. They have a great shot to get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. And what does a double bye do? Well, it gets you, you start on Friday, which means you have a great chance. You're playing a team that played on Thursday, and you have a great chance to get to Saturday, and anything can happen. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, this is that's part of the story. The other part is, you're right, they cannot afford to lose this game. They've got to get this win, because if you don't, I know a lot of people said, well, the win over Wisconsin, they're in the tournament. Done deal. You can't say that, because you can't say after that that if you don't lose all the remaining games, you're still in. You can find yourself back on that bubble pretty quickly. And fellas, keep in mind also that there's some teams behind Northwestern in the standings that have been slowly working their way up. And first and foremost is Michigan. Wolverines are playing very well right now. And they're going to come in here a week from Wednesday for the next to last home game. And there could be a lot riding on that game. So, yeah, you got to get this win. And quite frankly, I think you got to get the win in Champaign Tuesday night and avenge that loss you had here 2 weeks ago.
I agree.
You know, Dave, Northwestern's got one of the great theater departments in the country, and Chris Collins has a flair for the dramatic. To close Welsh Ryan out with three consecutive sellouts, it's just unbelievable. Can you feel the energy now, even though it's Rutgers? Can't you just feel the energy? I was there the other night. It's incredible what's happening in that building.
Well, you know, I've been coming into this gym, Harry, for, 44 years.
That's all.
That's a long time. And I've been sitting here courtside doing these games for about 20. And it's never been like this. But I always had this feeling that it could be. You know, I was around, and my partner on the radio, Joey Meyer, would certainly vouch for this. I mean, there was nothing bigger, and you guys were here. There was nothing bigger than DePaul basketball in the late 70s in Chicago. And everybody says Chicago's not a college basketball town. Well, it is when a team's winning and a team's doing well and a team provides some hope. And plus, I think this is a very entertaining team to watch. I think they're a likable team. And I think the fact that you've got the backstory of the years of frustration going to, I mean, it's not a surprise that people have latched onto this. And now they're getting all the national attention. And that's why it's so important for them to seal the deal here.
It'll also be a hotter ticket, too, I would assume, when they get the new arena and every single seat in there is going to be comfortable and you're not going to be packed in. I love the old school, but that will make a difference as far as people and families coming out.
I mean, this place is going to be state-of-the-art. I mean, it's going to be first class when it reopens in 2 years, the new Welsh Ryan Arena. I can't wait to see it. Whatever charm there is now, and there is some, you know, but this is something they needed to do. They know it, but if for right now, for this season, it's been kind of cool to see. And then the way the student sections have been filled every night, the student turnout's been great. The other night, the football team's here in one end zone wearing their jerseys. Oh, that was a nice touch. I hadn't necessarily seen that before, where they're all wearing their game jerseys. So, I mean, I just think it's been a great atmosphere. And I think tonight, a Saturday night, late start, a 5 o'clock start, I think the place is going to be jump in again, and I think when they come back and play Michigan and Purdue at the end of the season, it's going to be the same thing.
You know who's going to be exhausted is Jim Phillips. That guy high fives more people during a game, whether it's on the court during a break or off the court saying hi to people. That guy's just got to be flat worn out.
You know, he used to pretend to sit in the purple seats behind us. I think he just paces the concourse now during games, and then he comes out during the timeouts. Yeah, the guy's unbelievable, and there's so much going on here And I don't think there's an athletic director around who is more ubiquitous. Here's another word for you, Harry.
I've got dictionary.com. Hold on.
But Jim is able to be seemingly everywhere. He knows every student athlete at Northwestern. He has, during the course of each year, every student athlete on every team, all 19 teams, they all have dinner at his house at some point. He really, there's no lack of energy there, I'll tell you that.
Dave, have a great call today, 4:45 pregame on AM 1000. We will be listening when we're done, my friend.
Thanks, fellas.
I can't even spell ubiquity. Oh, U-B-I-Q-U-D.
Harry,
it is.
You'll get it. I know you'll get it.
His ubiquitous influence was felt by all the family.
There you go.
Put that KU education to work.
Hey, KU won again today.
I know they did. It's a great team.
They've got the player of the year and a guy that could be the first draft pick.
Yeah, no question.
See you, Dave.
See you, guys.
Dave ended out at Welsh Ryan Arena. Thanks for Dave for jumping on right before game time, baby.
U-B-I-Q-U-I-T-O-U-S, ubiquitous.
It's a renaissance of a revisitation of a relegation of a ubiquitous, Harry.
Wow, look at you. I should have gone to Iowa. You know, what Dave says, you know, is true. I was lucky enough to be there the other night and for the Illinois game, not for the disappointing loss to Illinois, not the disappointing loss to Maryland. And it's really exciting. I bet that the tickets for the Michigan and the Purdue game, okay, coming up a week from Wednesday and then next week and 2 weekends from now, I bet those are the highest priced scalper tickets ever for a basketball game in that building.
That's a bold statement. They've had some big ones back in the day. Even high school games have gone for a lot of money there. But, yes.
Northwestern, that's got to be the highest priced. I wonder what they're going for right now.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. The Purdue game especially, because a lot of Boiler fans travel too. So that's a hot one. And it's the last one of the year before they go to the tournament and everybody travels and we all live the dream. All right. Quick timeout. We will move along to big happenings this weekend right after this. 720 WGN. All right, coming up after the 4:30 news, opportunity to win Lou Malnati's pizza. We'd love to.
Yum.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yum. I'll have a slice right now.
Dan Long.
I know we were getting it. We talked about it last week. If I were back again, then we'd have it today. So, Dan, you want a slice?
I always want a slice.
There you have it.
Of Chicago's best deep dish. 40-plus Chicagoland locations. You can order online at loumalnati's.com.
If you know baseball, if you consider yourself either a White Sox or a Cub fan, then you will have an opportunity coming up after the 4:30 news here. We'll have a little bit of a game, and it's similar to a game that they play on Inside the NBA, the best TV show going. So it's a very...
Whoa, best TV show going, huh?
Best sports TV show
going. Did you see all the emojis, by the way, that they came out with for the NBA All-Star Game?
I have not seen the emojis.
They had it on Inside the NBA, and they have them for all the players, and they have them for all the guys on Inside the NBA. Charles Barkley's emoji is a pink frosted donut with a big bite out of it.
Well, and that's perfect.
Ernie Johnson's a bow tie.
Should be, okay.
Shaq is just a gasoline pump because Shaq Diesel.
Did you see the video of Shaq walking across a four-lane highway in his underwear, and that was it?
What?
Yeah, you can see. You got to watch it Inside the NBA.
He was
walking across the street to get like.
Tell
some,
me, it was a long time ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago. They brought it up. You don't even have to watch the show.
What?
There's this thing out there. It's called YouTube.
Yes.
And if you put Inside the NBA in there and you go down the rabbit hole, hours of entertainment for you, Harry. Of course, I would also recommend you go to WGNradio.com and just listen to the podcast of this show. That's always a great idea, too. But Inside the NBA, they do a great job. All right. Opportunity for you to show your baseball knowledge after the 4:30 news on 720 WGN.
Yes, if you're a regular viewer of this program, you know what time it is. It's time for that annual exercise in futility we call Who He Play For? Hey, what do you say? Let's play the game.
Futility?
Yeah, because you're not going to.
So if you ever wonder where great radio ideas come from, 95% of them are stolen.
Yeah, speak for yourself there.
I know your great ideas, your great games. You came up with all of them completely on your own.
Well, the last one sucked.
Which was that?
The
no, that was a good game.
No, the last one was sucked that I did here. That was really bad.
No, it was great. I thought it was fantastic. It was so bad, it was good.
Yes, the Harry's D-League team name.
Yes, this might be better. So, okay, who he play for? If you watch Inside the NBA, they give Charles Barkley different dudes, and he has no idea where they're playing. It's random guys around the NBA. This is going to be a little more local. Where are these White Sox and Cubs players playing right now? 312-981-7200. If you can tell us where the guy that I give you is playing, we will give you Lou Malnati's pizza. Now, that's easy enough, isn't it?
Just one? All I have to get is one correct?
One correct.
My God, you're giving away Lou Malnati.
312-981-7200. Where are these guys playing? If you can name it, you get Lou Malnati's, and we'll give up to, like, say, three away, something like that.
That's a great prize.
Yeah, and, you know,
I don't have to work that hard for it.
No, not at all. Let's see what we can do here. I do have confidence before we go to the phones here, Harry. If we let's say we take, I don't know, eight calls, how many people do you think will win Lou Malnati's?
I would say out of eight, I would say four.
Half, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, that's a decent amount of confidence. Jeff, welcome to 720 WGN. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Are you a diehard fan or are you a casual fan, Jeff? Let's just get.
I would consider myself a diehard Cub fan. Yes.
Diehard. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
And that opening day of the new Comiskey Park, or I guess it's old now, but so I do truly cheer for both teams.
Okay. Good for you. You're like me. You're bisexual.
And Cameron, can I make one other point real quick?
Sure.
And that is that they did not retire Maddox's number. It was a co-retirement with Fergie.
Right, and that's
Fergie
lame.
And Maddox.
Right, Fergie gets the whole retirement.
Okay, well, that's you can argue with them about that.
But. I mean, do you think the Cubs should have retired Maddox's number, Jeff, when you lose him in the middle of his prime for the entire part of his prime for except 1 year?
Didn't he win a Cy Young with the Cubs?
Yeah, and then they lost him. Who loses a guy in his prime after he wins the Cy Young?
They lost him over nothing.
But I don't think that was Maddox's fault. That
no, of course not. Of course not. All right.
Okay.
Hey, do you remember since? Okay, Jeff, you're impressing both me and Harry right now.
All right.
Do you remember the year 2011? 10, 12, and 13, well, more so, 2012, 2013, 2014. Do you remember who the catcher was for the Cubs? Played the bulk of the games? Who?
I can tell you, one was Henry Blanco.
Yep, Hank White.
Uh-huh, and who was the younger player?
Let me see.
He had a beef and a pastry that was named for him.
Mm-hmm.
Had a pastry.
Yep, see, a piece of beef in a bread encrusted. But this isn't even the game.
It's Wellington Castillo here.
Okay, that's right. The Cubs got rid of him because they didn't like the way he received the ball.
Right, he was a bad receiver, which I never understood that. How could you be bad at receiving the baseball? It seems pretty easy. But where is Beef Wellington Castillo playing these days, Jeff?
Boy, I just heard this, too. I'm going to say Texas.
That would be incorrect. Wellington Castillo is a Baltimore Oriole. Jeff, good effort, though. Strong effort.
All right. Thanks,
keep
guys.
Supporting both of them. I'm now changing mine from 4-1.
Right,
because these are hard. If you're going Wellington Castillo, these are going to be tough.
Well, I might ease it up here, but he said he was a diehard.
Right,
so,
well.
So I wanted to see how diehardy he was. Hey, Jason, welcome to 720 WGN.
Great movie.
Hello.
Jason, you more of a Cubs or a Sox fan?
I'm going Cubs.
Okay. All right. More of a Cub fan, huh? All right. This guy was one of my heroes. Came out of the bullpen, was super strong in 2015 and was there in 2016, although he didn't make the playoff roster. His name is Trevor Cahill, Jason. Where is Trevor Cahill?
I believe he's with San Diego right now.
Oh!
Jason is strong. Jason
ding, ding, ding.
Good job, Jason. A lot of people were betting against you. Good job, man.
Just like my parents.
Well, want to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean,
lie down.
We're here for you. I'm in the middle of a weekend. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
You got it.
Hold on. We'll get your info.
Yeah, he was about to go deep there, Harry. I might have missed an opportunity there. But
I know. You're like, well, it's always good to discover.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But congratulations to Jason. I didn't think he was going to get that. That's pretty good.
That's a tough one.
That was a Harry suggestion. Trevor Cale to the Padres. All right. Let's see what we do here. Let's get Terry in here. Terry, welcome to 720 WGN. How are you, Terry?
Hello. It's good. Good.
You a Cub fan or a Sox fan here, Terry?
South Side.
South Sox. Side. All right.
South Side.
Where is former White Sox shortstop Jimmy Rollins?
Oh.
Jimmy Rollins. Is he still playing?
He's
out. Still playing.
Good question.
He got to be near 40 years old, isn't he?
He's not a young man. That's true.
Oh, my God. Where is he playing? Jimmy Rollins.
Are you looking it up right now on the internet? That would be cheating,
no,
Terry.
No. I'm sitting in my car. I'm thinking, okay, here we go. Okay. Jimmy Rollins, he's in Seattle.
Jimmy Rollins is not in Seattle. Jimmy Rollins. That's a good – you were on the right coast, though. Jimmy Rollins is a San Francisco Giant. Thanks. Good effort there, Terry.
All right. Thanks. All right,
man,
guys. Bye.
My man, Terry. Giving it – was that too hard? Was Jimmy Rollins too hard, Harry?
Well, no, but that was a move that happened last season. So I think that, Terry being a Sox fan would have that. I think it's harder to get the ones that happened in the offseason.
Right.
And I think it's harder to get, like, the more obscure players.
Right, right. Absolutely. Let's get Scott.
I'm enjoying the game, though.
Are you having fun?
Yes, I am having fun.
Well,
I wish we had some Lou Mals in the studio, though.
You do keep saying that every week. Next week we're going to have it.
Uh-huh.
Next week we're having it. All right.
I'll be invited back.
Don't stop with that. Scott, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, Scott?
Hi there. Glad to be on.
Cub or Sox fan, Scott?
Oh, Sox fan all the way.
Wow. We're getting some good, solid moves here.
Of course we would.
All right. White Sox fan. Now, where is Tyler Flowers, Scott?
He went back to Atlanta, didn't he?
He did.
He sure did, buddy.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good job, Scott. Well done. Tyler Flowers. Who else is what other for an extra point here, extra credit, because you're just that good, Scott. Who else is on that Atlanta Braves team, former White Sox?
You got me on that
does
one.
Does he play the same position?
He does not play the same position. Well, maybe. Is AJ still playing?
I don't know. AJ was here last year.
I don't know if AJ. I'm talking about a pitcher who has a lot of poundage. A lot of poundage on the pitching.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
No, Scott, nothing?
They couldn't find him.
Bartolo Colon, sir.
Remember when Ozzy couldn't find him?
Bartolo Colon, yes.
Yeah. But you're still a winner, Scott.
Hold on. We'll take your information. Lou Malnati's over 40 locations.
And a hero. I like that we're getting a bunch of Sox calls here. This is breaking my philosophy on who listens to the program. This is good.
Everyone.
Right.
Likes baseball.
Right. Mark.
Like baseball.
Welcome to 720 WGN. Two more. What's up, Mark?
Hey, not much. How you doing, guys?
We're great, Mark. Cub or Sox fan, Mark? No, though, we're getting to the point where I'm not going to ask you that. But go ahead.
All right, well, I grew up on Waveland Avenue, and I'm a diehard Sox fan.
Wow. How about that?
Boy, you zigged when I thought you were going to zag.
Yeah, that was a huge... All right, where's J.B. Shuck?
Oh, come on. J.B. Shuck.
It's the game, baby.
Harry put that one in there, just if you want to complain. That was Harry's.
Yeah, thanks, Harry. J.B. Shuck. No clue.
Thanks for helping participate and play in the game. He stayed in the division. If that'll help you. We'll give you that little phone a friend tip. He stayed in the division.
Okay, I stayed in the division. Thinking now, Detroit Tigers.
The Detroit Tigers are in the division, but they do not have J.B. Shuck. J.B. Shuck is a Minnesota Twin. Good effort, though, Mark.
Okay, thanks, guys.
We love you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. All right, last one here. Let's get Gary. Gary, I hope you're a Cub fan. Are you a Cub fan?
I am a Cub fan.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Gary, name. This is a tough one, but I think you can do it because they're pretty household names here. There are three Cubs on the Kansas City Royals. Can you name them? They were all on the team last year.
Yeah, sure. You have Jorge Soler.
Ding.
You got Travis the Dirtbag Wood.
Whoa. Why is Travis Wood a dirtbag?
That's what they call him.
That's what they do call
him. Okay, fine. That was a complimentary moment. I didn't know that. Go ahead. Learning here.
And they have Jason Hamill.
Very good.
Look at you.
Gary, you're my hero.
Thank you.
You'll be enjoying delicious Lou Malnati's pizza.
Wait. All right. Very much.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate you.
There's one in Evanston.
Are you pizza deprived?
I am pizza deprived. I can never get enough pizza.
You're a legit pizza deprived.
Well, look, Lou Malnati's is the number one sponsor at WGN Radio. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming in here and I'm asking for, like, you know, someone that has nothing to do with the station. If you live in Chicago, you love Lou Malnati's. If you listen to WGN, you love Lou Malnati's. If you like pizza, you love Lou Malnati's.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of reasons that I would come in here and I would ask for a Lou Malnati's.
You're wearing a
sausage, mushroom, and onion.
That's your pick?
Oh, God, so good.
It is. It's delicious. Although I'm going more veggie these days, Harry. I go veggie. And I get the original.
You're just Captain Health now, aren't you?
Yeah, right. Lou Mal's with veggie. That's a real healthy choice.
Well, it's probably healthier than my sausage and...
That's true.
Onions and mushroom aren't bad.
We also on the list today, Rich Hill, who's a Dodger, Arismendi Alcantara. Remember him? Yeah. Multi-purpose. He's a Cincinnati Red. Jason Mott is a Rocky. We also had on... we had Andrew Kashner. Where's Andrew Kashner, Harry? I know you know.
Andrew Kashner just went to the Rangers, is it?
Yes, you just put that on there, yep.
And did you have former White Sox catcher Alex Avila on your list?
I did not. Alex Avila's where?
He went back to his daddy.
He's with Detroit again, right? Uh-huh. Starlin Castro, a Yankee, and Aroldis Chapman, a Yankee. I thought that was too easy, so we didn't throw those in there.
Hey, it's amazing, because Aroldis helped the Cubs win the World Series, but as a diehard, lifelong Cub fan, I care so much more about Starlin Castro than Aroldis Chapman.
I like Starlin Castro. I don't like Aroldis Chapman, even though he helped us win a World Series.
Yeah.
Although he nearly blew it, too. All right, quick timeout. Harry's got something special for you coming up right after this timeout. No pressure. 720 WGN. All right, Harry, I'm going to be unprofessional just for a minute here. I'm going to apologize in advance.
Sure.
So last week we were doing the show, right?
Uh-huh.
I came in here and I had my bag, which had my computer, and then I had my charger for my MacBook in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when we left the show, Amy was coming in.
Is this a story about how strong you are, that you can lift your Mac with one hand?
No, that it was only the charger.
Okay.
It weighs about a pound. But so I had him in two places, and we were upstairs in the sports office. If you recall last week, we were bonding before the show. Do you recall that moment?
Yes, I do.
Yes, and then we went and we got a tea.
Uh-huh.
And so I was in three places, the office, here, and there. And I went home and I look in my bag and the charger with my name on it is not there. Now, it wasn't in my bag when I walked in, but it was gone. So I'd like to create a witch hunt here. Who stole Carmen's charger? Was it Dan Long, producer extraordinaire? Dan, did you steal it?
I do not own a MacBook, so no.
Okay. Was it? Now there was a lot of Blackhawks people around that night, like Joe Brand and Alan Poppy, who's like he's always asking me, like Poppy's always asking.
I love Joe Brand.
I love both those guys. I trust him to the end of the earth. But he keeps on asking me, Brett Jackson, engineer here.
Brett Jackson, another solid individual, would not steal.
Right, but they keep on asking me, hey, did you find that charger? Like they're legit trolling me now on the charger. I feel like it's a game going on against me.
You know who you should check with?
Who?
The city of Los Angeles. They stole all the chargers.
They did steal the chargers. Is this a conspiracy? Is the whole station ganging up on at the Carm on Twitter?
I just lost my charger, but I remember, I knew where it was, and I called, and they had it for me waiting.
I mean, I think I have to give up, and I got to make the plunge and buy the new charger.
It's been a week.
I've been borrowing people's chargers.
Oh, so you're borrowing. You still have the power.
Can I get that for a minute?
I've often said that the producers here, that the engineers here are spectacular. Why don't you talk to one of those guys? I bet they have an extra charger they could help you out with.
I mean, this is no way to live. Chargerless. Like, it's losing your phone is probably the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Your wallet's probably second. But chargerless on your computer, that's right. Tough, Harry.
I would also add this. If you have to wear them, losing your glasses is tough.
Yeah.
And you never need your glasses more than when you're looking for your glasses.
Yeah. Do you have any sympathy for me on this, by the way?
I always have sympathy for you. I empathize.
That's why I like you, Harry.
Yeah,
I
mean, of course. It could happen to anybody. I was at Cigar King, which is now called Big Mike's.
Somebody stole your cigar?
In Skokie. No, but I go there and I write. And I forgot to unplug my charger. So I knew exactly where it was. Once I thought about it, like, okay, that's where it is. It's still plugged in. And I called it. Like, by any chance anybody turned this in last night? He goes, I grabbed it last night. It's here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just think you got to, you know, think harder.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, maybe it was like, somebody always texts in about Amy Guth beating me up. But
are you accusing Amy Guth?
No,
really?
I would never do
really?
That. I would never.
Really? Amy stole it?
No, it's not Amy.
You think Amy's only got one charger? Amy's got like a backup.
Amy does
She's
have
so
a thousand
thorough.
Chargers.
She's got like a backup charger.
All right. Well,
she is Kellen Winslow.
I'd just like to say to anybody who stole my charger or perhaps accidentally took it, even though it had my name on it, if it miraculously turns up, you don't have to say it was you. You don't have to say anything. Just have it.
It's like we're back in first grade. Everybody put their head down, and whoever took Mark's charger, just walk it up to my desk here in the front of the class.
Which reminds me of. In seventh grade, like the teacher accidentally, she passed out the test, right? And then she accidentally passed out the answer key. And then everybody was getting the answer key. And I was like, come on, give it to me. And then they gave it to me. And then she walked back into the room. And then I was stuck with the answer key. And then I got caught. Lesson never learned, Harry. Somewhere tied all into this.
Poor guy.
Mrs. Hartman took me down. It was a very embarrassing moment in my childhood.
Mrs. Hartman?
Yeah.
She went on to have a great son for the Blackhawks.
That's true. Way to go, Ryan Hartman. All right, 5 o'clock hour. When we come back here, Harry has a family issue that we're going to have to get into.
Well, anybody that went to high school could relate to this.
Yes. It's personal and it's real. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Harry, this is 720 WGN.
Uh-huh.
We're here till 5:30. Blackhawks Edmonton coming up the bottom of the hour. Judd Surratt with your pregame. John Weideman, Troy Murray with you. Hawks at the United Center tonight. Game's also on WGN TV. We'll keep you up to date, too, on Northwestern, who's playing right now over on AM 1000. I'm actually going to slide over and do a little halftime over there. So if you don't have to say goodbye to me at the end of the show today.
I can listen to you.
Well, maybe we could just go do halftime together. You want to do that? I have to get that approved, but I think we could maybe get that done.
I think it's better chance it gets approved at this station than the other one that it's broadcast
on. No, they don't have a say in that. I probably shouldn't be jumping into that pond over there. So, hey, back on track here. Before we get to Harry's family daughter going on vacation.
Not vacation.
Well, on a school trip. That's kind of vacation.
I don't know.
A little bit of a...
It's cool as all.
So, Harry, is the world round or is it flat?
I can get this one. Yeah. It's round.
Well, Kyrie Irving of your Cleveland Cavaliers, he believes the world is... That the earth is flat, man. This is his quote. What I've been taught is that the earth is round, but if you really think about it from a landscape of the way we travel, the way we move, and the fact that... Can you really think of us rotating around the sun and the planets all aligned, rotating in specific dates, being perpendicular with what's going on with these planets? Kyrie Irving is a, what do they call him, flatters? There's a word for him. Kyrie Irving, the flat earthers, right. Thank you, Brett Jackson. He thinks the world's flat. There are people out there that believe this, and Kyrie Irving is one of them. And he's getting killed for it on Twitter and social media and everywhere.
And he should.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that's going to, like, make me want to kill someone. Like, I don't know, you want to think the world's flat? Go ahead, man. Whatever floats your boat. Not going to change my day. I think you're wrong and don't believe in science, which is not a great way to go about your life.
It's one thing if you say, well, the coolest stadium in North America is
Wrigley Field.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's an opinion that a lot of people share, but it's just an opinion. You know, when you say something like the world is flat, that's kind of.
So it's slightly alarming.
Yeah.
But you want like that opinion doesn't hurt anyone. You know, there's certain opinions that people have. I don't want to get into politics here, which I believe is actually an actual detriment to society. Okay. Him believing the Earth is flat is completely irrelevant as far as you can. Go ahead, man. Believe it. Why don't you just keep driving? If you think you're going to keep driving and someday you're going to fall off the cliff and that's not how you're going to live your life, that's cool.
You may have already fallen off a cliff.
I have. I think I did just fall off a cliff. All right, what's going on with your, what's going on, Harry?
So, Lucy is, Ben, they've been waiting all year for this. My daughter's a sophomore at Evanston Township High School, wonderful school, and the debate team is part of 4,000 high school kids that have descended upon Boston this weekend. Harvard University is having their high school debate tournament.
Lucy's on the debate team.
Yes.
Lucy is in Boston at Harvard.
With the entire Evanston High School debate team.
Wow.
And 4,000 other high school kids.
Okay.
So this reminds me of when I was in high school, we got to take a bus ride up to the I went to New Trier High School, which is like all about, you know, theater. And so many great actors and actresses went to New Trier. And so we got to take a bus ride Friday morning to Minneapolis, and we'd see one play Friday night, a Saturday matinee, and a Saturday night show. We'd see three plays in like 27 hours at the world-famous Guthrie Theater.
Was that fun for you?
It was so much fun because it's not about the theater. It was about the hotel Friday night. And about the bus ride home on Saturday night. What so my question would be to all the listeners of the Beat, to all the listeners of WGN, when you took a high school trip, what did you do? What happened to somebody else on the trip? Somebody did something bad. Your memories, your recall.
You're worried.
What happened when these high school kids go on these trips?
Are you worried that Lucy's going to do something inappropriate?
I'm not worried so much about Lucy. I'm worried about other kids. You know, someone's got a bottle of this, or someone's got, a bottle of that. I'm worried.
Did you have a bottle of this or a bottle of that to your on your? Because I would have needed many bottles to get through three plays in 24 hours. I wouldn't. There's no way.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Nothing.
Shame on you. There's so many great. I mean, this is the home of Steppenwolf. This is the home of Northlight Theater. Go up to Northlight right now and see Fearless.
Listen, I'll go see one play. I'm down for a play. Three in 24 hours. Like, I'll do a doubleheader baseball.
The Goodman Theater is in Chicago. Yeah. Remy Bumpo Theater is in Chicago. How do you not go see a play in Chicago?
Three in 24?
Well, this is the Guthrie Theater. Okay. And so that was the trip, is 40 kids on a bus up there, and then you see a play Friday night, Saturday day, and Saturday night, and then you come home. But what it turned into for the high school kids is we had free reign of a hotel Friday night.
So hold on.
I'm thinking high school kids are – kids are kids, and all it takes is, you know, one person to suggest something.
Was there a conversation in the Tynowitz household about not allowing Lucy to go on this trip?
No. No, no, no.
So you trust
there was a conversation that suggested I take several trips.
So
and then she just went up to Kalamazoo.
It is therapy every week on the show. So hold on a second here. Did you consider going on the trip to be a chaperone? Not for Lucy, but for the other kids.
And they do have chaperones. And God bless all the parents everywhere that volunteer. All the, you know, my friends that are hockey parents, they drive their kids and other kids everywhere. Like, going up to Michigan for the weekend is nothing for those guys.
Right.
Chaperones, you know, can only do so much, can only be so many places. If kids want to find trouble, they'll find it.
But hold on. Do you want this trip to have happened?
Oh, of course.
Okay, but
I trust my daughter.
Okay, but you also, it's like a both and for you. You want her to go, but you also are.
I've been there. I've been there. I remember.
You don't trust. You don't have a lot of faith.
I remember we stayed in the Curtis Hotel. I don't even know if it's still in Minneapolis. We stayed at the Curtis Hotel Friday night, and we were exposed to great theater Friday night, Saturday day, and Saturday night. We went to the Walker Arts Center on Saturday afternoon. But what the kids cared about the most, I should say, was the hotel Friday night. We free ran of a hotel.
I feel like telling a story that I shouldn't tell, but I'm going to tell the story anyway.
Gather around. Throw another log on the fire.
This is a short one, but it was amazingly funny and inappropriate all at the same time. I was an outstanding, if I may say so myself, play-by-play announcer for a Division II college, which at this point will remain nameless. We're on the road. It's the NCAA tournament, okay?
Cool.
All right. Now, one of the players wanted to... have the room to himself because he had an opportunity. And so I said, do you know one of the students, from city or, do you have a girlfriend here or whatever? And he just said, no, mascot. So
what?
The mascot of the team, he had made inroads and the mascot was coming over. So the mascot and the one of the starting players were a thing, and I thought that was just amazing.
Did the mascot wear the costume, wear the uniform?
I don't know. Maybe that was part of the deal. She showed up in the mascot.
That's going to make it a lot more obvious.
You got a friend or nah, mascot? The what? The mascot.
That Hilltopper mascot doing in your room last night? That was no Hilltopper mascot.
I loved that one. And then I'll give one more, Harry. To your story. When I went to the great University of Iowa.
Yes.
My last year as a senior, I needed 3 more credits. And I wasn't the most focused student in the history of Iowa. So I was willing to take any class. And so one of my friends was a geology major. And he's like, why don't you take whatever geology course it is? It meets for the first half of the semester, and then we go down to Florida, to the Florida Keys for spring break, and we look at different...
rocks.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm in. So everybody in that class was all legit geologists, and here comes at the Carm on Twitter... with his, Iowa hoodie basketball sweatshirt and just kind of hanging out. And nobody knew who I was because it was a very small community. So when we're going down, we got on a bus and left Iowa City for 28 hours straight from, all the way to the Keys. That was my senior year spring break, and it was fantastic. I won't say anything more.
What was her name?
No.
What was his name?
There was none of that. There was a little bit of that, but not really. So that was that. That's the only thing I can relate to what Lucy's having right now. And I'm assuming Lucy actually was on a plane and not a bus. I liked the 28-hour bus ride.
Yeah, well, last year the band took a bus ride to Washington, D.C. This year they did get to fly. But, what happens on the bus ride coming back Saturday night is it's makeout central.
Really?
Yeah, and there's people that are conservative will let their inhibitions go when they travel.
Are you saying that a young Harry was on a bus ride and was making out of the back of the bus? Are you putting that out there right now?
Just wish that I'd been seated with someone.
I have higher vision for what you used to be than you.
Do you know the Jefferson Starship? I believe it was not the airplane. The Jefferson Starship song, Miracles?
Sure.
Yeah. Only you believe like I believe. That song came on.
Yeah?
I was sitting next to this girl. And to this day. To this day, whenever I hear that song, I think of that young lady.
Yeah.
And that bus ride home from Minneapolis.
Wow.
And on the way there, the 8-hour trip seemed like it took 8 days. On the way back, it was like 6 minutes.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried thinking about baseball.
Do you remember Abracadabra?
By Steve Miller?
So Steve Miller.
Yes.
Band. Yeah.
I want to reach out and grab you.
Yeah.
Is that your song?
That was like Nippersync, 1986.
Nippersync? Is that a condition your date had?
Do you remember that?
I really like her, guys, but she's got Nippersync.
It was like a summer resorty campy thing in Indiana, Nippersync. I guarantee you people on the text line 312-981-7200 went to Nippersync back in the day. It was a great, great place. And then, you had cabins and whatnot, and the parents were doing their thing, and kids had activities, and then... eventually there was always like an 11-year-old romance, and Abracadabra was the song that I was thinking about.
Uh-huh.
This is an awkward segment.
Texters have thoughts about your trip.
Okay. Well, we don't need to read those. Wish you were handier around the house. Learn how to tackle those DIY projects with some help from local home experts. You can do it with Weekend Workbench, Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV. We'll get you set for Blackhawks hockey coming up. It's the Hawks and the Edmonton Oilers from the United Center on 720 WGN.
Ah, you're funny, Dan.
It's a nice touch.
Oh, God, I've never really had my someone do that to me before.
Harry's romantic days on 720 WGN. Blackhawks and the Oilers coming up. We got 2 minutes to talk to you. If you've been wondering where the Blackhawks have been, you're not a diehard fan like my buddy Eric Israel, who's always paying attention and listening to the show right now. But it's been a six.
Is your nickname for him Holy Land?
No, but it could be. I think you just made a move there. Hawks have been off for 6 days. Last game they played was against Edmonton. They play them again tonight. That last game,
right,
of course,
it's like a home and home.
It's a home and home with a 6 day break. Yeah. Never, I don't think that's ever happened before in NHL history.
It's the first year of this 5 day mandated break. They practiced yesterday, but they're back tonight. And Connor McDavid is awesome. Connor McDavid may be the best player in the NHL. He's 97 for Edmonton. And Judd is raring to go with the pregame. And then, John and Troy have the game. And tomorrow night, they're in Buffalo, 4:30 pregame. And 5 o'clock faceoff, Patrick Kane goes home to play the Sabres.
Right here on 720 WGN. We got 1 minute, Harry. I know you wanted to get out before we left here an idea that you have to make the NBA All-Star Weekend better, which of course is going on this weekend.
Right. Well, the slam dunk is cool. I wish more stars would do it, but instead of the 3-point shot contest, three shots and a point contest. Players have to do three shots of Jack Daniels and then try to make a free throw. Three shots and a point contest.
Is that in lieu of the 3-point contest, or can we have both?
You can have both. I know which one will be more entertaining to watch.
You want you're endorsing drinking on the grandest stage?
Just remember, if you drink and drive the lane responsibly.
Fair enough. I don't think that's going to pass through. But what is interesting in the NBA this week, and we talked about a little bit last week, Charles Oakley getting that apology from James Dolan.
Yes, and Jimmy Buckets. Will Jimmy Buckets still be here?
We'll
when
see.
The beat returns when the Saturday beat returns.
Trade deadline, February the 23rd. All right, Blackhawks hockey coming up next from the United Center. Judd's got your pregame.
Thanks, Dan Long.
Thank you, Dan Long. Thank you to Dave Ennett over at Northwestern. This is 720 WGN.